right at the start, we find that Job feared God. Right at the start, we have he was just and upright, but he was one who feared God. Heard one person say, one of the things that's lacking in Christendom today is this matter of the fear of God. We have so dumbed down the idea that, and we've been sharing this in our Bible study of how, both in Sunday school and on Wednesday night, how Paul rejoices in the severity of God and the mercy of God. And there is this matter of the fear of God, this reverence, this awestruckness that is to be had with regard to our relationship with God. And it's a real challenge. It's a challenge to me is, am I awestruck with who God is? Or I've been around it so long, I've had my Bible for so long, I've heard the verses so long, I've been in Sunday school so long, the awe of God no longer affects me. You know, we have 747s and 757s and we have space shuttles and we have all these things that man has done, and it sort of, you know, captures the imagination. And so the idea of the awe and the awe-inspiring character of the greatness of God, sometimes we don't have it. You know, I keep wondering whether or not, you know, the Industrial Revolution and mechanization and technology, and I'm in technology, so whether it has robbed us of the simplicity of what David experienced as he set out and took in the stars. And the awe of the greatness of God just overwhelmed me. The fear of God is something I think that is something that needs to be reacquainted in each of our own hearts and lives. That awe-inspiring nature that God is, so that we might see how it works in our adjustment. It adjusted Job very significantly. It says he walked just and upright, and he eschewed evil, or he set evil apart from him. He wanted nothing to do with evil because he had a knowledge of the true and holy God.
Is that because it's not taught anymore? Are we so inundated in religious circles today with talk about the love of God, and that is a very true statement, that the fact of the truth of God and the judgment of God is not taught as it once was? How many times do people in our day maybe even hear a sermon on hell? God is the one who will have the last say, but men in society have rejected this notion. The teaching of evolution, they say there's no God in the secular society, but in the religious society, God's become the psychologist. He's become the buddy, and he's not presented before man biblically as the great and mighty God, the God of awe, as we see in Daniel, the great and mighty God. And so I'm asking Mark the question, you know, in conversational Bible study, not just sermonette Bible study, you know, maybe we could have a little dialogue. If you think this is not presented today in our preaching?
It certainly isn't popular. There's no question about it. Men don't want to be told they're sinners. Men don't want to be told that there's judgment coming. Men don't want to hear that their pathway may be the wrong pathway. And unfortunately, this has come in even among some who might be even saved. Sad to say, but it's true. Now, as a believer, we certainly should reverence God and recognize his position. And as I said before, we don't know the future, but he does. He does. And he is a God of love, yes, all of that. But God judges, and he judges righteously. We have to also occasionally judge things, but we are faulty in our judgment at times. We have to acknowledge that. But the Lord is always righteous in his judgments. We may not understand them. We certainly not always pleased with the things that occur in our lives. And men tend to be drawn to a place or to people where they're told they're good and everything is going to be good in your life and just bring your checkbook. That's all that's needed. And that is so sad, because that's not what the scriptures teach us. That God is righteous, yes, he is judge. His judgments are perfect, yes, that's all true. But men don't want to hear those things. And this is the world in which we live. We have to acknowledge that. We cannot change every group. We can pray and try to change individuals and show them the right pathway. And even if they don't know the Lord, certainly we would preach the gospel. But if they have faith even, we have to help and direct them according to the scriptures. Job was a good man, we would say today. He never knew what was going to happen to him. He had all this wealth. He had everything that the world admires. And he didn't expect anything wrong. But when things began to happen, he didn't blame God. He remained faithful. And in the world around us, if some come under duress or whatever it is, they lose their jobs, they lose things, there's a tendency to blame God. That's the tendency. How sad that is, you know, how sad. And it sometimes changes lives, too. Believers become discouraged. We shouldn't even use that word. The future is bright for every believer. Not necessarily in this world, but in that which is to come, right? That which is to come. Our salvation is secure when we're truly trusting in the Lord. Job truly trusted God. And all these experiences that he went through, which were terrible, really, losing everything he had, his family, everything. But he remained faithful. He did not blame God.
We have the God of all encouragement.
Right.
So discouragement is not of God, it is of the enemy, who would want to keep us down and discouraged. But we have the God of encouragement. Now this fear of God is the anchor of Job, and it's true that it's downsized today. Christianity has even written new translations that really downsize and make the Lord Jesus himself seem more of a simple man than the fact that he is the man God.
Maybe a God, good the man.
Yes.
Not God.
Or maybe a good man and so on. But remember Peter, when the Lord Jesus did this wonderful miracle, and Peter then realized whose presence he was in, and he fell to his feet, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am full of sin." Here was one who realized who was standing in front of him. Okay, and he reverenced him. See, this is the difference too. Job have a reverential fear. This is the same fear that Daniel would not eat of the king's table. Remember, the prince of the eunuch said, "Well, I fear my lord the king." But that fear is that same fear in Hebrews 2, the fear of death. And all our lifetime subject to that fear. But Job had this, the same as Daniel looking to the heavens. He realized whose presence he was in. And what right does he have over me? He has every right because he is God, the creator of heaven and earth. He counts every hair on my head. He counts every breath in my lungs. Just the fact of who he is causes me to fear him in a reverential way. And this is what Christianity has downsized and made Christ lower, equal to us. In fact, Christianity says, as Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" That's what Christianity has come to. He put the Lord at his level. I'm Pharaoh. And who is the Lord to tell me what I ought to do? But that's what man's heart is now, even among Christian circles. Who is he to tell me what to do? So the fear of the Lord is something that recently at a funeral, I had the privilege of reading some verses in connection to that in Acts chapter 24, when Paul was before Felix. Felix and his wife, when Felix called him privately. And Paul preached to him, and Paul told him of the righteousness and the temperance, and then judgment to come. And then we read that Felix trembled with fear. And that's what's lacking, the fullness of the gospel. If they're not going to hear the grace of God, then the ultimate is the judgment of God. And I often say it this way, and please don't judge me the way I say it. I often say to people, I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you. I'm trying to scare you out of hell.